Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, just 3 days after Jesus had been on the cross, he was walking on a road to a village called Emmaus. And as he was walking on that road, he came upon two men who were also walking, and they were talking. And they were talking about all of the events that had transpired in Jerusalem over the last few days. And Jesus hid himself in such a way that they did not know who he was as he talked with them. And he began to ask them questions. And it was clear that they did not understand what had happened and the significance of what had happened. And in Luke chapter 24, Luke tells us that Jesus, using the scriptures, and when you see that phrase in the Bible, it's referring to the Old Testament, to the writings. That's what the scriptures mean, to the writings. Jesus, using the scriptures, what we call the Old Testament, he began to tell them and explain to them everything that had happened and the significance of what had happened. He began with Moses and with the prophets. One of those prophets, I feel sure, would have been Isaiah. And I also feel sure that one of the parts of the prophecy of Isaiah would have been chapter 53. It's the very same chapter that later the man from Ethiopia was in his chariot and he was reading, it says specifically, from Isaiah chapter 53. And God sent Philip to him and asked, "Do you understand what you read?" And he said, "No." And Philip used the scriptures, Isaiah 53, and he explained to him Jesus to the point that the man stopped and said, "Hey, wait a minute, there's some water. Can I go ahead and be baptized?" So what I want to do this morning, as we talk about what is salvation, and as we talk about what did Jesus do on the cross, I want to do what Jesus did. And I want to go back to the prophets. And so would you stand as we hear the word of the Lord from Isaiah 53. "For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be counted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. The word of the Lord. Please be seated. Isaiah made this prophecy through the Holy Spirit hundreds of years before Jesus came to the earth. Hundreds of years before Jesus as the Messiah suffered and died on the cross. But he very accurately predicted through the Holy Spirit some specific things about the cross. And he very accurately predicted what Jesus would accomplish on the cross. So just what did Jesus do on the cross? And my first answer is, he did everything. The cross is the pinnacle. It is the summit. It is the supreme moment of all of history. Everything before the cross was leading to that moment, and everything since has been being fulfilled out of that moment. The cross and Jesus on the cross accomplished everything. He accomplished your salvation. He accomplished your deliverance. He accomplished everything that you need. But I want to break that down just a little bit. And I want us to look at what Jesus did on the cross. And I want us to do that by referencing very often Isaiah 53. But also I want us to do that this morning by talking about what Jesus took for us and what Jesus gave to us. Because on the cross, to accomplish our salvation, he took some things for us and he gave some things to us. And the rest of this sermon is basically going to be those statements and scripture, because this is what we shared on Tuesday night with our friends. On the cross, Jesus took our punishment and he gave us forgiveness. He took our punishment and he gave us forgiveness. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5. But he was pierced for our rebellion, and he was crushed for our sins. The Holy Spirit writes in Romans 3, verse 23 and 24, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. And so, as a memory tool to help you remember this, what Jesus did on the cross, what he took and what he gave, I want us to use our bodies this morning. And so I'm going to demonstrate this for you, and then I want you to copy, okay? And we're going to use our left hand to talk about what Jesus took. And we're going to use our right hand to talk about what Jesus gave. So you're going to be doing it opposite of me. Don't get confused. Jesus took our punishment. Would you say that with me? Jesus took our punishment and he gave us forgiveness. Do it one more time. Jesus took our punishment and he gave us forgiveness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Again, we learn this from Isaiah. Jesus took our wounds and he gave us healing. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. He has borne our sickness. He has carried our pains, and his wounds are healed. Now, there's a couple of layers to that sickness, but the word there is actually just when you're sick. And Jesus demonstrated that not only did he come to take our sick sin soul, is that the right way to say it? It's in a song. Say it again. Sin-sick soul. Thank you. He took our sin-sick soul, but he also takes our sicknesses, and he demonstrated that. Matthew chapter 8, that evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick. He did this to fulfill the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sicknesses and he removed our diseases. And so Jesus took our wounds and he gave us healing. Say it with me. Jesus took our wounds and he gave us healing. Okay, it keeps going. Jesus took our death and he gave us life. This is what Jesus did on the cross. He took our death, he gave us life. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels. Just let that sink in for a minute. Philippians 2. He did not consider equality with God something to be clinged to, but he for a little while made himself lower than the angels. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. He conquered death by death. And in John 10, he said, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. And so what did Jesus do on the cross? Say it with me. He took our death and he gave us life. Okay, he took our curse and he gave us blessing. Galatians chapter 3. But Christ has rescued us from the curse that was pronounced by the law. And that is that the wages of sin is death. This curse. And when he hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is he who is hung on a tree. Jesus was hung on a tree. He was cursed according to the law of God. He took our curse. But Nehemiah chapter 13 says, yet our God turned the curse into a blessing. What did Jesus do on the cross? He took our curse and he gave us blessing. And we could spend the rest of the day just extolling the blessings that we've received from the Lord. Salvation is your salvation, the way we talk about it, in terms of being saved. But salvation is just a life also full of blessing. That's part of salvation that Jesus accomplished on the cross. Jesus took our poverty and he gave us abundance. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. Everything that ever existed exists because he made it. It's all his. He rich beyond our imagination. Yet he made himself poor, so that by his poverty, you could become rich. Ephesians 1, the blessings, the spiritual blessings that are ours in Jesus Christ. Romans 8, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do on the cross to accomplish your salvation? He took our poverty and he gave us abundance. Let's keep going. Jesus took our rejection and he gave us acceptance. Back to Isaiah 53. He was despised. He was rejected by man. A man of suffering. He was familiar with pain. If you have been rejected, if you have been despised, if you have experienced pain, Jesus knows and Jesus cares because he took our rejection and he gives us acceptance. John chapter 1, but to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to be children of God. We're accepted. So what did Jesus do on the cross? Say it with me. Jesus took our rejection and he gave us acceptance. One more. Jesus took our shame and gave us glory. Hebrews chapter 2. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. Do you know that when the Bible talks about the cross, we usually talk about the pain. That's what we focus on. That's what we cannot fathom, is the pain of the cross. Do you know what the Bible talks about when it talks about the cross? The shame. The shame that Jesus suffered and endured by being cursed to hang on a tree. The indignity and shame of what he experienced. So he took our shame. He gave us glory. Hebrews chapter 12. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And as we have been studying for the last few months, if we're in Christ, we are seated at the right hand along with him. So say it with me. What did Jesus do on the cross? He took our shame and he gave us glory. That's salvation. That's salvation in its most full sense. Salvation is so much more than you think. It's not just a moment in time. It's not just a transaction that occurs. Salvation is a life with Jesus. Salvation is experiencing all that Jesus. And this just begins to touch. This doesn't even begin to touch the depth of what Jesus has given us, what he has taken for us, and what he has given us. It affects, I'm having such a hard time talking. I'm so excited about it. It affects our spiritual life. It affects our physical life. It affects our emotional life. It affects our mental life. It affects everything about us. We are saved. We are made whole. We are redeemed. We are alive. We are blessed. We are forgiven. The list just keeps going on and on and on. And it is all because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. And as we'll see next week in the resurrection, Jesus did it for you. He did it for us. He did it for the whole world. So in salvation, you have forgiveness. You have healing. You have righteousness. You have life. You have blessing. You have acceptance. You have glory. Jesus took everything that was evil. He didn't take anything from you that was good. Jesus has never once held out on you. He took everything that was evil and everything that he gave. Everything that he still gives is good. Everything that is in your life that is even remotely good, as we read earlier in James, comes down to us from the Father of lights. He is the light. So there's no shadow in him and he's never changing. He takes what is evil. He gives what is good. So, if Jesus did that for us on the cross, if he made our salvation possible, what do we do? Well, there are two specific places that I can think of where someone heard the message and asked that very question. Because it's the most natural question to ask when you find out what Jesus took and what Jesus gave. You say, what should I do? There were a group of Jews who asked Jesus that question in John chapter 6. They said, what must we do? What are the works that God requires? And here's what Jesus answered. The work of God is this: to believe in the one he sent. The one who went to the cross. The one who was raised from the dead. The one who took all that from us and who gave all that to us. You want to know what work God requires? Believe in Jesus. A little later, after that light bulb had come on that David talked about for the apostles, and they preached, Peter preached that first, what we call the first gospel message on the day of Pentecost. And God began to gather the first fruits, because that's what happened on the Feast of Pentecost. The first fruits of the whole world that Jesus is saving were gathered that day when Peter preached. And it says, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And he replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you. So what do you do? It's not a list of steps. It's a heart response. And if you have not responded to the one who accomplished your salvation on the cross, what do you do? Believe in Jesus. Repent. Just like Isaiah 53 said, all of us have gone our own way. Every single one of us have just gone our own way. And it is not the way to salvation. I've been reading some early church fathers, they're called. And one of the consistent ways that they talk about Christ, it must have been something they got from the apostles because it's very consistent, is they talk about there are two ways. It goes all the way back to Deuteronomy when Moses said there's a way of blessing. And there's a way of cursing. There's a way of life. And there's a way of death. And on our own, not a one of us can accomplish our salvation. Right. On our own, every single one of us will choose the way of death. But Jesus chose the way of life, paved the way for us. And by believing in him, by repenting and saying, I'm not going to go my way anymore. I'm going to go Jesus' way. And by being baptized into that life, into that salvation, participating in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus, then we walk in the way of life and in the way of salvation and in all of these blessings that Jesus has given us. And so I extend that invitation to you. One of our elders and his wife will be right over here. Greg and Robin, they'll be ready. I'll be ready to talk further with you if you're ready to ask, what should I do and what does that mean? Because I want you to experience the salvation that Jesus has accomplished for you on the cross. And then next Sunday, come and experience the flowering of the cross. And visualize the salvation that is yours in Jesus because of the death and because of the resurrection.